Donahue. Trustee Grossi.
Here.
Trustee Harris.
Here, and you need to be closer to the mic.
Trustee Lenarczyk. Trustee Lucas.
Here.
Trustee Yonke.
Here.
Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion we approve the agenda.
Any discussion? Second?
Second.
And let's... Who are you?
Oh, sorry. Jen, second.
Okay. Any? Vic, any discussion? All in favor? It's unanimous. So the first order of business on the agenda is a public hearing on the preliminary plat subdivision of the Fike property, the Fike, Winter Fike Estates subdivision located at 3801 James Canyon Drive, Jamestown, Colorado. And the plat revision is to create four parcels consisting of a 3.165 acre parcel, a 2.86 acre parcel, a 2.404 acre parcel, and a 2.404 acre parcel. So we're going to open the public hearing. The process that we're going to go through is first the applicant will make whatever comments they wish to make on the presentation. And where did... And are you going to...
Yeah, I'll show a presentation as well.
Okay. And Melissa will has a slide presentation. There will be an opportunity for board members to ask questions of the applicant. Then we'll move into the public comment period, and there is a sign-up sheet here, and we ask that people who wish to comment on the application, please, there's two sides. You can comment in support or if you have concerns, so sign up on the appropriate side, and then we'll go through one set of comments, we'll go through the other set of comments. Then the applicant will have a chance to make closing comments. We'll have board discussion. We'll close the public hearing. Then we'll go into our regular agenda and the actual resolution occurs after we go through approval of the minutes, clerk and treasurer's report, announcements, community updates, open forum. And then the first item of old business is a resolution approving a preliminary plat for the Fike subdivision. So that's, and then we have a whole bunch, a lot of business. So if you're really interested, you can join us. We'll be here till probably 10 o'clock tonight. Okay. So at this point, we're opening the public hearing, and I would ask that Quinter or Val, if they have any comments to make about the application.
I'm Quinter Pike, and representing this subdivision, we're going to show the public what we have to offer. The town is requesting safe building sites, and we have some very safe sites, well above the floodplain. And there, you will see when we put it up on the screen, you'll get an idea of what we look like. And so at this point, I guess I'll turn it over to Melissa and show you what we have.
Thank you.
So, Melissa Berry, town planner. And I worked on this with... Quinter, I just wanted to put it in to try to make it something succinct that you can look at and see the site and see the information that was provided. So this is the site. It's in the yellow up here in the north of town. Let me see if I can get it up here. So it was a 9.84 acre parcel, and the proposal is what you said, to split it into four parcels, all over 2.3 acres. Here's an aerial from the town, or sorry, from Boulder County assessors that shows the property. It is a little off of the assessor's data, a little off from the aerial. This is just some photos of the plat itself. We can get into that if we have any details that you want to discuss on that. But again, this is the property, and the four parcels would be to split this overall 9-acre parcel into four. So the first one is where the barn is today, and it follows approximately this boundary. The second one is to the west of that, approximately this boundary. The third is spans the street. It's over across on the north side of the street, as well as partial on the south side. And the fourth is mostly on the south side, but also a little bit on the north side. So the numerals are 1, 2, 3, 4, just to refer to you what the sizes of the lot are with the proposal. And the X and the O's are potential building sites. Basically, the ordinance asks for identification of areas that might be buildable. They don't have to be etched in stone. They just have to show that they're appropriate in building areas. So that's what the X and O's are. So these are some images of the site. This is coming from County Road 94 going west. You can see the barn that is there now. It might be a garage on the south side of the property. And down here in the lower part, and sorry if I'm blocking it from you all, is a little bit of an identification area. It's showing in the red square where we are in the whole property site. So basically, it's just driving up the existing driveway that's there. You can see the road 94 in the back. And this is going up toward the fourth parcel. This is driving through parcel 1, 2, parcel 2, and 2 and 4. So now we're on parcel 4. You can see it's been cleared out some. There's also electrical lines that go to the property right now. And I'm just taking a little bit of a panorama on parcel 4. So here's parcel 4 again. Parcel 4 does have some floodplain on it, but it's on the area close to the road and downhill from those building sites that we're just taking photos of. Then driving back through parcel 1 to parcel 2, the existing driveway that's there in the utility lines. And you can see down here, and we're now up into parcel 2. There's a driveway currently, and then there's been some greening here, and this is would be the site for any future construction. And here's some more photos of that site. And looking back down toward the driveway. The third site, again, is accessed from the other side of the 94 on the north side. There's a gate there now. You drive up there, and it also has a pad created here. This is when you get right up on top of the driveway. So this is kind of looking east and looking west. There is a drainage here, but it was it's one that's been there for quite a long time. But if somebody did build on this site, they'd have to address this. And here's the site from, it also has electricity. So basically, as I mentioned, that the floodplain, there are floodplains on, a little bit on parcel 1, 3, and 4. We did have the floodplain administrator go out there and confirm that there were buildable areas outside the floodplain, and that letter was included in your packet. There are steep slopes on portions of 2, 3, and 4, but they're not in the areas that were notified for or proposed for building sites, and where the driveways are right now are not on those steep slope areas. There are potential building sites and septic sites, as noted. There's currently electricity, road access, and there's driveway access easements that were put on in the prior 2014 subdivision that was there. So those are there. I do believe that some electricity easements need to be put on, but look at those as different things and not all easements. So the proposal, we've talked to Mr. Fike a few times in the past about his proposal is to do cisterns for a primary water source, and he has supplied a letter from a hauling business that would be able to do that, and I think the subsequent owners would have to keep that going. All the proposed parcels are more than 2.3 acres each, which is the primary criteria in the subdivision ordinance. I just wanted to remind the board that there has been a recent subdivision on the property in 2014. It was to cut off a piece that's to the south of this 9-acre property. So this has gone through subdivision recently through the town. The comprehensive plan, just in case, it calls for residential single-family and cottage industry, just like the rest of the town, except for a few noted areas such as the Merck and the Town Hall, which are non-residential. And then it is in the non-urban area for the comp plan, but the comp plan called it out in 1981. And what it had said is that this non-urban area should develop after the developing area, which is the core town, and the secondary area near build-out. And that is, I would say that's pretty close to what it is now. So it's pretty close to build-out. So also the ordinance calls that the fire department and the water operations are notified, and they were both notified. I did not get any comments back from either of them. We notified the property owners within 300 feet of the subject property, and then Mr. Fike was to notify mineral right owners, and he's got a form that he will sign for the mineral right orders. And then the property owner notifications were mailed out on August 11th, and we received two comments. One from a neighboring property owner just had questions about the number of lots and where it was, and then there was some concerns and calls with on-site grading. And then we also received a letter recently from adjacent property owners that we can cite during this public hearing. Publication of notice was put in the paper as well on August 11th. The site was posted as well. The town attorney has reviewed the plat and has recommended some modifications to the plat language, and then has also required a few other additional items be submitted before the final plat is done. And I have those a little later in this. The memo from the attorney was put in the board packet. And then just a couple of notes I wanted to say is that according to the ordinance, the board does have 30 days within the public hearing to make the decision. So if for some reason that you can't make a decision tonight, you do have a leeway, but it will need to be done before October 11th. Typically with subdivisions, there's a subdivision agreement that is done, and that is done concurrently with the final plat. So that would have to be drawn up as well in the next, but between the decision and the final plat submittal. So these are just a few things. I don't know if we go to them now, but the attorney review had a few items that they wanted to request before final approval was ever done on this. So. And that's all I have right now. But I can pull these slides back up whenever anybody has a question.
Before we move on, we'll quick show that Trustee Donadio has joined the meeting at 7:15.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we are at the point where if the board members have any questions based on comments that the applicant has made and or Melissa's presentation, this is the time, a time to ask those questions. Yes, yeah.
You
are?
I am Chad. Hear me roar. And and I have a question for, I guess it would be Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
I
just have a question. Would drainage and all that kind of stuff be brought up during when the county would do permitting and stuff?
The way I understand it, that drainage and anything that is associated with construction would be dealt with when the building permit. However, there are ordinances that might apply to drainage. There's a driveway, private drive ordinance that talks about getting a permit. It doesn't really say I'd have a drainage plan, but a permit review, so that may be applicable. But according to the discussions I've had with, I think I can say, a board member that has been working with subdivisions for a long time, indicated that the drainage plans and the some of the erosion and re-landscaping plans come with building permit and not just the plain subdivision.
Okay.
And so right now he's just asking for a subdivision and not plans for building.
Okay, cool.
And then I think we got some confusion with the sign-up sheet. So if we call your name and you're not wanting to talk, then just skip it. Yeah, it was just for supporter concerns for the... So it's not just the sign-in sheet to be at the meeting, so...
Are there any other questions from board members? If not, we'll move to public comment. And so, we have a, okay. So the first name on the list, Val.
I'm Val Seitz. I am, of course, for the subdivision, and we've followed every rule that we have been alerted to and know of, and so I just think it should be a go.
Marshall?
Yeah, I'm Marshall Fike, and I also pretty much just what my mom said. These guys have gone through all the requirements that are required, and I don't see anything that should be holding them up from being subdivided. And I know as well that I've subdivided my property years ago, and I've been paying taxes on it, that piece of land forever, and it's eaten me alive, and I need to develop it. So any neighbors that have concerns, they're free to, you know, buy the land themselves if they're worried about having neighbors. And it's just unrealistic for somebody to think that they're going to move to the mountains and never have neighbors unless they buy all the surrounding property and control it. So that was addressing the one derogatory letter from, I believe it's one of the adjacent property owners, Nina. So,
actually, I think it's Nina without the quotes. I didn't find the letter derogatory. I just found it as a concern.
I don't think this is a question and answer period. I think he's speaking.
So, anyway, I think her concerns are you know, trying to scare the town with, you know, legal stuff, and she's delusional. So, anyway, that's all for me. Susan.
My turn? So, yeah, I agree 100%. Oh, I'm Suzette Fike, or Fulton Fike, legally speaking, but agree both with Valdora and Marshall. The other point I'd like to make is that the town is looking for places for residents to relocate, and Quinter has an opportunity for people to do that. And I don't know if people are waiting for free homes or whatever it is, but he has an opportunity to put people in a safe environment and has... done, followed all the rules and done everything he could do to meet all of your expectations. So I'm totally for it. And they'll be our neighbors. And I'm not complaining.
Nina?
So I didn't want this to be a war or anything. I just felt like if I didn't voice my concerns, then I would miss my opportunity. So I feel that concern about what could go on that property. There are very few ordinances in town of what can be built on that property. We're afraid that it's just going to become a junkyard of some sort. The fact that it is going to be run on a cistern versus a water system could potentially draw owners that are going to just store stuff on the property instead of building a home. We're also concerned about the erosion issues that might happen around the property. I feel like there are a lot more regulations in Boulder County that they address with an engineer that looks at the property, makes recommendations about what needs to happen. And I don't feel like Jamestown, as a town, we go through those steps. And I wonder if it doesn't cause some of our erosion problems that we have been seeing in town. I also think about how it might, a new septic right there might affect the neighbor down the hill a bit. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration. And of course, we bought property there because we wanted space around us. And at the time, there was space around us. And I understand that the town is looking for property, but we would rather not have a neighbor right in front of our land, especially if it's going to be a junkyard or a marijuana grow up. And that's it.
Larry Hiddle.
I'm Hiddle, and I have sympathy for both sides of this argument here, but I'm looking at a longer-term view and wondering if this decision to make this amendment might be hasty. And the reason I say that is that to the north and the west and the southeast of the properties in discussion here, there's approximately 70 to 80 acres of mining properties that are patented that were held by Gold Hill Minerals. Maybe you guys remember David Badner, who was in here about three years ago. David Badner has died. His estate is in probate. It's in the hands of the attorneys. And I'm just wondering that if somebody was to buy this 80 acres that's up there in the future and apply the amendment if passed, if they couldn't take those 80 acres, divide that into 16 5-acre plots, and then subdivide that in half again, make 2.5-acre lots, essentially making 32 buildable lots for the west end of town. It might be out of the Jamestown perimeter of the town limits, but I would assume that with the income potential there from property taxes, they might want to annex that property and make it part of Jamestown. And if they do that, you could potentially have 32 new houses up there that would be essentially bringing a barcade development down into our backyards. And if they build houses that are up to current standards, the houses would be probably in the $300,000 to $400,000 market value. And those houses in our backyard would raise the values of all of our properties in Jamestown here and increase our property taxes. And if you happen to be somebody who's on a fixed income like Social Security, or will be soon, like myself, I cannot afford to pay increased property taxes. So it's very personal for me. I understand Nina's argument. I understand Fike's argument. But I'm just looking long term. If this amendment passes, what's the possibility of setting a precedent that will let that whole West End, if purchased by somebody for subdivision and development, be built up, destroy our tax base so that I'm going to be penalized by it, and potentially put houses like Nina says right in my backyard? I'm not looking forward to that, and for that reason I would say think about what you're doing so you don't establish a nasty precedent here that cannot be reversed.
Jyoti?
So I support your right to a subdivision, and I also support Nina and anyone else's right to question it and to make sure that it's done right. And so that's the main reason that I'm here is to... And I think part of the question's been answered about erosion, for instance, that happens when the county starts permitting the individual houses. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
There's a head nodding. No. Not quite correct. Okay.
The items that were listed in the subdivision ordinance that were required
for housing construction included in a erosion control plan, but that's not required if you're not building a house. So that's what we're talking about. But when you do apply for a building permit and building site, you have to provide those items.
Okay. Thank you.
But there are driveway standards and that kind of thing existing in the town now.
Okay, good.
And so that's kind of what I understood, that once somebody bought the property and they started developing it, then they would have to get a permit and make sure it was all done correctly. And then just regarding the subdivision in general, are we doing anything differently in Jamestown than is required in Boulder County, or is Jamestown in its own little orbit and making its own decisions, or how does that work? Just, are the standards the same?
Jamestown is not the county.
Right.
So we have the subdivision ordinance that we currently have.
And does that match the standards of the county or close to it?
No. In fact, in the county, in unincorporated Boulder County, you need 35 acres to build.
Okay.
I mean, for example. Mm-hmm. So, no, we don't have the same standards. The subdivision ordinance is currently under review and discussion by the Land Use and Housing Advisory Committee. And so in the future, that ordinance could incorporate different and or additional standards. But at this point in time, we have the ordinance that is on the books, and this request is under that ordinance.
Okay. And so, yeah, concerns about what ends up there. There's a grow house now that's in our neighborhood. And so would that just be the town ordinance that would decide, or would it really require that a single-family home be built on these lots?
There's a difference between – this is Carolyn. There's a difference between a business and a residential. I would imagine that that's what we have control over.
In our comprehensive plan – that's what's called out for, is single-family residences.
Okay. And then just things like slash piles and cleaning up the place to prevent fire hazards and, you know, just those kind of questions about how that'll be handled. I'm assuming that would be by the purchaser of the new property, or?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
John Gifford.
Like everybody else in the middle of this, I live at 3633 James Canyon Drive, and I'm Quinner's neighbor, Nina's neighbor. So I don't have a problem with what Quinner and those guys are doing of, you know, the 2.3 acre subdivision is fine. What I read about is that there's a proposal to drop that in half to like a 1.2, and just had concerns whether you guys at any point are going to extend the water main, possibly a water tank or a reservoir or fire hydrants to the other end of town, and if you're going to allow density at 20,000 square feet lots.
Vic Harris, the current subdivision ordinance is being reviewed and discussed by the Land Use Housing Advisory Committee. They have not brought forth any proposals to the board as to the direction they're going. I can say that,
okay, because I think that density is way more than is necessary and not well thought out. I think Quinter has done what he has to do. As far as cisterns go, if there's no other option, I guess we have to go that route. But I would like to see the town consider a water main and have a little responsibility for this development.
Yeah.
Maybe we could work together, keep the standards that we all know and like about Jamestown, what they are and do things good. That's where I stand.
Thank you. Denise? Thank you. Anne?
Anne Hasse, Jamestown. I'm not here to speak for or against, but just a couple of clarification things. We do indeed have a grow house in beautiful downtown Jamestown right now. And I don't know how, why, what, or when, but I'm wondering if that falls in the category of cottage industry. Because our comprehensive plan, as it stands now, not only recognizes single-family homes, but cottage industries. And I'm not sure whose cottage that falls under. The other thing is that I'm on the LUHOC committee, and I can only tell you that what they are considering and looking at this point is allowing a variance, because right now it's 2.3 acres written in stone, and LUHOC has not decided yet, and I can't speak for the whole committee, but what's being considered is the option of a variance to that. And I'll let you guys duke it out for pros and cons. I'm out of this one.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who didn't sign up that wanted to comment?
I didn't have a reason, but I have to comment. I didn't know if I did. Somebody read it.
I'm kind of like that lady. I
wasn't going to say anything either, but I just cannot stand it. So I've got to. My name is Leon Hill. I've been around here a day or two, and I am for whatever people want to do on their own property that they bought and paid for, as long as it does not do harm to the other people's property. For example, we bought 10 acres up on 87J 100 years ago, built a little cabin, we burned out in 03, built another cabin. And we had the whole mountain. I acted like I owned the whole thing. And all of a sudden, people come in there, $2.5 million homes up there. One's already built, the other one's under construction now. We got a thing in the mail to sign if we objected to it. And I looked at myself in the mirror and it scared me, but I said, you know what? It's their property. They're not going to hurt me. Let them do what they want to. They worked for what they got, I hope. And let them do what they want to do on their own property, as long as they don't hurt someone else. For so many years, I thought, I'm up here. I don't want nobody else up here. Well, it just ain't like that, folks.
Are there any other comments? So, Quinter, did you want to make any closing?
Well,
then again, I'm Quinter, and I want to address Hiddle's statement about 80 acres up there being developed, bought by the town and divided. Maybe in two lifetimes it might happen, but those properties have to be connected. Yeah, there's a lot of land up there, but they have to be connected to build that many homes. And, well, anyway, that's my answer to that. Is probably never happened. But anyway, I think what we're offering is some very nice building sites, and the town needs to grow a little, and we have the land available, so we're hoping this thing happens.
Okay, so
can we make one more comment?
Yeah, my name is Marshall Fike, and I wanted to say one thing about the water up there. Cisterns up there, I've got a well on my place that barely produces a gallon a minute. Wells aren't all that good of an idea in the mountains when
you don't hit water. So I guess all I'm saying is there's really no advantage to being able to drill a well when there's no water supply. For me, I'd love to see the town run water and hydrants and have water taps up there available. I'd take two.
So,
one more comment. This is Suzette Pike. Heard a lot of concern from several of the individuals that were concerned about what's going to appear on this property. Trash, you know, salvage stuff, whatever. There's a prime example up on Mesa Street that there's a huge trash pile. Everyone drives by it every day. No one's done anything about that. So to put that into the mix of what's going to be next to me and what I'm going to drive by and stuff shouldn't be really considered in this scenario to subdivide a piece of property.
Okay, at this point, I'm going to close public hearing and ask, and we're going to have our discussion. So, does anyone want to start off?
Can I ask a question? The 80 acres that, where's Larry? There you are. Where, is that Jamestown or Boulder County, unincorporated Boulder County? Just curious.
That's the property, I think it's Boulder County.
Okay.
But I imagine you guys see the tax benefits and don't have it, so.
Yeah, that's it. No. Right. And then just a comment on extending water lines. The, gosh, what was that all together? Maybe a quarter mile's worth of water line extension on Cemetery and Slaughterhouse was $500,000. So the odds of...
I wouldn't lay any odds.
Yeah, and they'd be low anyways, but to in order to annex those 80 acres, that would pretty much be a requirement, and I don't see us getting that kind of money anytime this millennia. Yeah.
This is Vic. I guess my comment would be that, you know, we have a request to do a specific thing, i.e. a subdivision, under a current statute. And land that's outside of Jamestown is really not our purview. And that land, if someone wanted to put houses on it right now, is subject to the county 35-acre minimum. So,
This is Carolyn. I'm going to start with a comment. Just, I mean, if we're going to live in a small town, then I'm going to be okay being in a small town. This place has to first and foremost be a safe place to speak. So I hope I always address when I feel like it's not becoming a safe place to speak. I just wanted to start with that. And as, again, as a trustee, because this is how you have to think about it, it does have to come down to ordinances and rules and who has the right to do what. It's tricky. We talk about living in a small town, and that comes with the emotional layer. And we go there a lot when we talk about living in a small town. But then we have to do the duty of a small town, and that really has to be about the rules and the regulations and what's fair and just what's law. And it's tricky to try to decide between the two when it comes to overall, but to me it isn't tricky when it comes to just what's rules and what's laws. That we asked, you know, for things to be followed, and they were followed. The water was one of them. If they're going to have a cistern, is there going to be someone who's going to deliver that water? And they went and they got a contract. So in looking at requests, it does have to be about what do we have in the books, what have we allowed. And that's just, I just guess wanted to say that's where I'm coming from.
Thank you. No other discussion? Okay, so at this point, I'm going to close the public hearing. We're going to move on to our normal business. And when we get through a bunch of normal business, then we will actually come to a resolution.
A dramatic conclusion. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. So, we're moving on to approval of minutes. So, July 18th minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve the July 18, 2016 minutes.
Second.
Jen, sorry.
Heather, seconds.
Any discussion? All in favor? Unanimous. July 25th minutes.
This is Chad, and I'd like to motion the approval of the July 25th, 2016 minutes.
Second.
Jen, second.
All in favor? Shows unanimous. August 1st minutes.
I move we approve the August 1st minutes.
I'll second.
Discussion?
That was Carolyn, by the way.
Yeah. Discussion? All in favor?
Do you have
something?
Yeah.
So you can
second.
I can
second, but I can't vote. Yeah.
So, all in favor, showing that Trustee Donadio is abstaining. August 8th.
This is Chad, and I'd like to motion for the approval of the August 8th minutes.
This is Jen. I would like to second that.
Discussion? All in favor? And let the record show that Trustee Donadio abstained. And finally, August 15th.
I approve that we did. I can do this. I approve that we approve the August 15th minute.
This is Chad. This is Heather, and I second.
Discussion. All in favor? So, are you abstaining?
No,
I abstain. Let the record show it's unanimous. Any announcements? So. All right, so we're on to community updates.
I think we still have clerk and treasury report before announcements.
Sorry. Clerk and treasury report.
Two things. Payroll for August is probably.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Christy Rutledge. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Payroll for August is processed. Budget for 2017, your items are due by October 15th. And just a heads up, we'll need to think about the budget, scheduling the budget workshop. So, FYI. We did receive insurance quotes for 2017, workers' comp and the property casualty. Workers' comp was $5,983. That was up by about $1,300. And the property casualty quote was $8,661. And that was up by about $426 versus last year. Due to a lapse in employment for the town clerk, the town saved $7,315 in employment costs.
Thanks, Chris and Melissa and everybody else.
Nice. Yeah.
Erica, there you are.
And then the town did receive and process a rental agreement for a request for Legion Park for a wedding to be held in April of 2017.
So, thank you, Christy. So, community update. Is there a loot hawk update available? Don't see either Barb or Matt. Okay. Town square reconstruction.
Take a deep breath.
It's been a long, strange road. I think you all are aware that phase one happened. The park has been graded and seeded. The contractor has to come back and fix some of the erosion issues caused by their failure to put down the water barrier before it rained. But on Friday, the request for bids to do phase two, which is putting everything in the park that we had agreed on as a town well over 2.5 years ago. The invitation to bid went out on Friday. There's a mandatory pre-bid meeting this Thursday. Then the people who are at the bid meeting can submit their questions if they have questions. Then there will be responses to those questions. And then the bids are due the 26th of September, I believe. 23rd of September. Thank you. Then the Parks Committee will review the bids and make a recommendation to the board, hopefully on October 3rd. It's a little, just for background, it's a little bit complicated because the way the bid package was put together, there are a whole bunch of subcomponents, which allows, and one of the reasons for doing that was to allow the opportunity for local residents to bid on portions of this project. But it gets complicated if you have an electrical contractor, a plumber, a concrete person, a landscaping person, and all of those pieces have to fit into timelines. So we have our fingers crossed that we will get sufficient and appropriate bids that we can move forward. The clock is running on us. Our grant from GOCO, which is funding this phase of the project, was supposed to have been expended by April of 2016. We had 2 years to finish the project. We got a one-year extension. We won't get another one. So we really need the bids to come in and the construction to get started so we can make the April deadline. So I think that's...
Erica has something to say.
Yes.
And if I can correct my correction, it's actually the 27th.
That the bids are due. Okay. Okay. So hopefully they'll actually... If the bids come in and we can award them on the 3rd, there'll be a notice of award on October 4th and a notice to proceed as soon as some of the documents that the contractors who receive the contracts submit to the town. So ideally, we could see construction start before the end of October. That's our goal. Melissa, do you have a...
Hang on, can I add something to your Town Square one?
Yes.
Last meeting, you someone had asked about the recommendation in the long-term recovery plan to rebuild the hitching post, and I did talk to Craig Brown about that. He's willing to do the labor and build it, but the cost is probably going to be pretty expensive. Turns out steel pipe is, like, not cheap. Mm-hmm. So he's going to kind of get some estimate of what the cost would be going through his sources. Mm-hmm. When I just, you know, random Googled it was a couple $1,000s. And I know there's not that kind of money in that budget, but he's going to see what he can do, and I'll get that to you. You guys have a meeting Wednesday?
Oh, actually, we're not meeting this week.
Great. Next week.
Thank you.
So maybe we'll get a hitching post. If anybody has any 3 or 4 inch Schedule 40 steel pipe lying around, donate it to your local parks committee. Thank you.
Just don't bring it to them.
Yeah. Not here. No.
Okay. So Melissa, you're going to do an update on the drainage and stormwater management master plan.
Yes. I don't know if you recall, but this all started last fall. We applied for a grant for a drainage and stormwater master plan. We got awarded it, I believe, in January or February. But as it works through the state and the government and the funding sources, we finally got the go-ahead to put an RFP out. So we did do that based on the schedule that they gave us to do it. So RFP is a request for proposals. And we also have a similar track for what you are doing for the town square, where we are hoping to get proposals by September 23rd. And then we would like to ask to see if we can get some board members, if they're interested, to be on a selection committee. And we can take up to two because of the open meetings laws. And then what we would do, similar to the Parks Committee, make a recommendation to the board on October 17th. An alternative would be if you wanted to do the interviews on October 17th and make a selection then. But we're kind of leaning toward having a panel review similar to what we've done in the past and have a recommendation to the board. And then also if the board has any comments on any people they would like to see involved with the review. I know there have been folks in town that have expressed drainage concerns and wanted to be involved, and that actually includes Craig Brown. He was here today and knows a bunch about Anderson Hill, what's going on there, so we thought that might be a good one. And then Mark and Colleen may be good people to include the Williamses, because the stormwater management and water quality is they work on. And then we had a few other folks that were interested, so that might be valuable.
So are you, this is Vic, are you going to bring a list of folks to be on the review committee to the board?
I think that would be a good idea, unless the board decides they want to be the ones that interview on the 17th.
Okay. I think we'll have an offline discussion.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry if that was a surprise, but
so we're on to open forum, which is an update on the stress PTSD study. But I don't see Tamara. So I guess we won't have that. Which brings us to old business.
Can anybody speak at open forum?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mary Brown. And just two things in regard to the Anderson Hill situation. A lot of us up there are really concerned about the corner at the top and winter. So I don't know if the town is looking at any kind of a plan. I know Jim talked about trying to bury the culverts and get more room there. One thought I had is that if we can't get anything resolved before winter, maybe we could make that a one-way road for the winter, because it's going to be a mess up there unless we get something down about the corner. The other thing is there's some trees on 16th Street. Three of them right past the 16th Pine intersection. There's three dead trees there that are starting to kind of cave into the road. And I think that stretch is still considered maintained by the town. So those, as winter comes, are going to get pretty precarious up there. And then there's another one on Spruce down by Ann Hassey's house. So I just wanted to bring that up for any help we could get with those.
So I can address three of those four. Jen addressing things. The tree by Ann Hassey's is actually on the agenda tonight. So that one, I don't know about the other three. You'll have to come look at them and determine bunch of stuff. The Anderson Hill, the construction company that did that, they are coming back hopefully by the end of this month. It's actually on a different agenda tomorrow to figure out when they're coming back. But we said, and they agreed that they had not done some things right with the construction. So tomorrow we'll be going over exactly what it is that they're going to do, and we have pointed out that that drainage ditch doesn't work, and that something needs to be done better there. So I can't say what they're going to do exactly, but we know it's an issue, and we're hoping that they will best fix it. If not, we're going to come up with something different. And then as far as the curve goes, what we've talked about and what I'd like to do, I'm just sort of waiting for to know when SEMA's coming back to do that stretch so that we don't have two construction groups smashing into each other. But looking at Buddy putting 18-inch pipe all the way around the corner and up to Mesa and burying that so that it can be less terrifying up there. So that's it. It's an engineer's meeting, and they just tell us stuff, and I understand some of it.
Okay. They engineers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be kind of complicated, just because, I mean, I go and I mainly listen, and then if there's something I know we need to have done, I'll usually be like, somebody tell them who speaks their language. I wouldn't say he can't come, but I can't tell him in the three-hour span of these meetings when we'll talk about Anderson Hill. So that is at 11 is when it starts. Yeah. So.
Any other
just,
anything?
I'm just going to say one more thing. At this point, we can't tell the construction company to do anything that wasn't already in their contract. So looking towards the future, I can't say, you know, if we decide that this was an engineering problem, a design problem, that's a whole different way of solving that problem. So at this point, we're waiting to see what the construction company says they're going to do, and if it's up to the standards of the contract, and if it will actually help with the drainage.
So are there any other comments for Open Forum? Come up.
Yes, Jyoti, we're all looking at you. Jyoti Sharp. And just, I was disappointed that the Luhawk survey wasn't more specific about parts of town, because there certainly are places where one-acre lots would be in keeping with the character of that part of town, and there's places to the west of town where it would be totally out of keeping with the character of that part of town. So I just wanted to go on record saying that. And I know there's an ordinance, so it's not like the survey is going to go into effect. So I'll have more to say when that ordinance comes around.
Thank you. Anyone else for Open Forum? Okay. Old business. Old business is Resolution 9-37, Series 2016, a resolution approving a preliminary plat for the Fike subdivision. So.
This is Chad. And I'd like to motion approval of Resolution 9-37, Series 2016.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
No.
See, my discussion really would just be around not the technicalities, no, but no considerations and stuff. This is Carolyn.
Thank you, Carolyn.
This is Chad, and I would just like to say thank you to Quinter for doing everything that we've asked you to do, and jumping through the hoops that you've had to jump through, even though it's your land and you're allowed to do with it what you want to do with it. So, you know, that's why I motion. Yeah.
I guess I would just say that I completely sympathize with neighboring residents' concerns about what happens in the future with future property owners, but I don't think we can penalize current property owners based on what we're afraid some unnamed person in the future might do. We all have to deal with neighbors that we sometimes like and don't like. There's no way to legislate against that, and I don't think we can, you know, punish somebody today for what someone else might do tomorrow. So,
yeah, this is Carolyn, and I agree with that. I liked the open forum stuff, and you've always been completely respectful, and I like that. And I say this a lot because to me it's important. I like it's a small town. I like that concerns are heard. I completely agree. People have rights and all that kind of stuff. But I like that maybe if we always hear, because we talk about the character of Jamestown, so you can't dictate who comes in, what, with where. You just have to go by laws and bylaws. But if we keep listening to each other, maybe we can just really work those really well and just be cognizant of it.
Seeing and or hearing no further comment, I'll call for a vote.
I second, Chad. I don't think we had a second.
Yeah,
Heather. Oh, I'm sorry. You can third it, though.
No, that's okay.
So, all in favor of the motion? Shows that it's unanimous. So,
thank you. Yeah. You did it very well. Thank you.
I want to thank the board and being understanding, and we appreciate your following through on this. Now we can move forward.
And we'll get you the, Melissa will get you the comments from the lawyer that need to be included.
Okay.
I think you'll find it very straightforward.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're moving on to new business.
Julie's back.
Okay.
Can they come back like this after them?
Oh, yeah.
She missed it so much.
Okay. So the first item is approval for JAM to hold a holiday arts and crafts fair in the town hall on December 10th of 2016. So I guess...
Come on, Julie. Come on.
I'm going to speak to JAM. Is it possible to do all three at once? And then you can vote separately?
Wait, I didn't realize JAM was separate.
Is that right? JAM person? I can speak for JAM. Okay.
If you would like to present information on the holiday rental, the elementary school rental, and the Halloween party and the chili cook-off, why don't you just talk about all three and then we will...
Okay. So I think this is a bigger... The reason why I think we can talk about all of them is because it's a bigger issue of... Can we be using the town hall while we still have employees occupying space? And I'd like to say a couple of things. Wherever it's ever been held, there hasn't been a disaster, spills, things, even with beer and wine. So I think that people would be as respectful here to not to be cognizant and not be reckless with spills and beer and wine and wrecking things in the same way as if it was held somewhere else. I also think that the amount of space is approximately equivalent to the fire department and smaller than or larger than the school. I think that using the town hall allows for handicap access or, people with difficulties getting upstairs. And I think that if we wanted to move the cubicles, that would be great. I hear they're a lot easier now. But if not, the space would be sufficient. And regarding personal information and equipment, I think files can be moved. And again, I personally don't think anything would be damaged, but we would certainly close off the workspace area. And let's see, there's one more. I should have written this down. As always, cleanup and setup will be assembled with a bunch of volunteers. And I think, as far as the school goes, part of the question was asking if fees can be waived, of course, to pay utilities. And I think that after 3 years, the residents have been really patient with not using the town hall and have been respectful of other places, and therefore I think it's a time that we make it work and make everyone feel at home again. So all those reasons are why I think we should move forward with having the events here.
I just have one question and one comment. The comment is that no one has actually asked to use the town hall before now. Last year they decided to ask to use the fire hall. They didn't even ask. But anyways, so as long as you can block this stuff off, like, could one person from each group take responsibility for making sure that area is kept?
I'd be happy to do that.
Right.
You're going to be one person. This is Vic. You'll be one person times three.
Sure.
Will you wear some sort of really cool guard outfit?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Will you carry a sword?
Mm-hmm. If time allows.
Okay. Good then.
Okay. So, thank you. I want to, Erica.
I'm just going to speak on, this is Erica. I just want to speak on behalf of Beth Brotherton's request as far as these go, because I know that the fees get waived because it's a Jamestown resident run group renting a facility, and that's what's in the facility resolution. However, what's not waived is the cleaning deposit.
Right.
So Beth was wanting to request that also be considered to be waived with the agreement that if something's broken or damaged, that the school or JAM would replace it. Now, JAM actually may have that built into a memorandum of understanding, so that's one issue, and that may be in there. I'm not really sure. I can't speak to that. But as far as Jamestown Elementary goes, that's not written into any sort of understanding, and that was the purpose of Beth's request, to consider waiving that cleaning deposit with the understanding that the Jamestown PTO would replace anything that was broken.
And clean up.
And, of course, and in my experience, those groups have left these facilities cleaner than they started with every time that I've seen it personally. So.
This is Carolyn. Stay cognizant of the bathroom. Christy, you might want to listen to this, because that's always Mary Ellen's bane of existence, is the bathroom. Didn't sometimes would, so.
All I can speak of is since I've been employed here, and we have no maid service here, so we've always been kind of excited when the groups come in, because the bathroom gets clean.
Yeah. Erica? Putting on your staff hat, has there been any more discussion by staff about outside town events in this space?
I've not heard anything since, I don't know, maybe the last time this became an issue, which was never actually requested, as Jim put it. I think that the staff, in general, is fine with it as long as things are left alone and not harmed or stolen or given that possibility. I know in the past there's been requests to actually block off the doorways, and I think that that's been respected each time.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a procedural question.
Absolutely.
We don't have anything in here on the agenda as far as action on waiving fees. So are we allowed to do that tonight without that being there?
You're saying no, Chad. I was going to say yes. This is Carolyn.
I was going to say no because it's not specifically stated in here. But that might be covered under...
It's not a problem. We can just come to the next one.
Right.
And do that.
All right.
So I think... Because we just discussed it. Since there's... Since I'm just, you know, the stand-in here, I think we'll just follow Chad's lead and just work with what we have. And if we have to have another discussion about waiving fees, actually, as it was pointed out, the fees are pretty much waived for all of these. The issue is the cleaning deposit. And my comment is a deposit is a deposit, which is you put it out, and if you do what you're supposed to, you get it back. So I'm not as clear about why we would waive it, but that could be a discussion at another time.
Yeah.
So we.
So I motion.
Yeah, go ahead.
I, Chad, motion for the approval for JAM to hold a holiday art and craft fair here at the wonderful town hall in the center of Jamestown on December 10th, 2016.
Second?
I'll second.
Ms. Carolyn? Discussion?
I actually agree with the fact that it's been a long time and people have been incredibly patient. So if we can, we should. That's my opinion.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, my only comment would be as long as we can quarantine off this area, let the festivities begin.
Yeah. So, all in favor? Show unanimous. Approval for Jamestown Elementary to hold a Halloween party on October 11th.
No, 31st.
No, I can't read. Okay, on October 31st. Zero.
I motion that we allow that the elementary school be able to hold their Halloween party actually on Halloween, October 31st. Second.
Any discussion?
So I think that's a Monday this year.
It is a Monday.
And so the only thing was hopefully you don't have a board meeting
set. I guess we won't be able to do that now. Halloween. I think it's really unfortunate.
Our board meetings are the first and third. Our board meetings are the first and third Mondays of the month. 31st is well beyond the third.
Or we could have a really scary board meeting. I think we're capable.
Okay.
Let's vote on this thing.
We had a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I'll be having a Halloween party at the Mercer.
All in favor? Show unanimous. Okay, the next item, approval for Jamestown Elementary to hold their chili cook-off in the town hall on January 29th, 2017.
So moved, Jen. The only discussion I would have when it comes to the chili cook-off...
Second.
Okay. The only discussion, this is Carolyn, I would have with the chili cook-off as I look at those cubicle spaces and know they're going to need that space. I think if they don't need it, obviously, but I think I'd want to hear the plan for the chili cook-off, where they plan to. Any idea, Julie?
Yeah, so, like I said, if we could push these cubicles back, but if we had a group of 20 people, I think it would be fine to slide it over and then just push it to a closer corner.
And the library would stay where it was and the tables would go in front of that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
That sounds good.
So,
but regardless, I think the space is bigger than the fire
hall. Okay.
And so last year when they had there and how cramped it was,
Okay.
And I point out that we had the Mennonite going away event here, and I believe there was food, and we had a lot of people.
Yeah. Did anything need to be moved for that?
I don't believe that anything was moved.
Because I'm not willing to say you have permission to move stuff without talking to the people whose stuff it is.
Oh, no. Like, that's what I was talking about, Erica. I mean, I think the question of moving things. And I think that anyone who's uncomfortable with their stuff, we certainly help move it to, like, the town office. Obviously, they'll take, everyone's on my staff, they'll take their computers, so it might be paperwork.
I think you're going to get some pushback with moving things.
Yeah, I'm on the understanding that's not getting moved at all.
Right.
That's staying right where it's at, like it is, maybe with bubble wrap put over the top of it.
Seems like there's plenty of room in here, though. Like, if you move it back as much as you could, you're maybe going to gain 20 square feet, so there's room for 5 more people to stand.
Okay. So, just to clarify, we are voting on approving the chili cook-off being here. We're not voting on the logistics of it happening, but the sense of the board, from what I'm hearing, is securing the cubicles but not moving. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. So, we've had a motion and a second.
Let's do the voting.
All in favor? Okay, unanimous. Okay, so the next item is a discussion of amending ordinance. I don't know why my eyes aren't working today. Ordinance 2, Series 1997, prohibiting discharge of firearms or disturbance of the peace within town limits as it pertains to firing rubber bullets, sandbags, etc., to deter bags. So, are you starting this off, Melissa?
I am. This is actually...
Thank you, everyone.
This is actually a request from Michelle Durant. She's not here, so I'm going to go ahead and talk to you about this. This comes out of the recent Save Our Bears group. They had an event here recently, and one of the discussions they've had with the Colorado Parks and Wildlife was on the... legality and ethics of using rubber buckshot, beanbags, or similar devices to haze or deter bears. And as we look at it, in those discussions, the Parks and Wildlife said they would support that as long as the town has rules in place, laws in place that allow it to happen. So CPW was okay with those hazing efforts, but looking at the town's ordinance for firearms, we do not allow it. Basically, the current ordinance number 2, series 1997, discourages firearms and says no person not being a peace officer shall discharge a firearm within town limits. It shall be an affirmative defense of a violation of this section that a person is discharging a firearm in lawful. Wait, I'm sorry. I apologize. I read that wrong. It shall be an affirmative defense of a violation of this section that a person is discharging a firearm in lawful defense of persons or property. So basically it says you can't fire anything unless you're a peace officer, unless you're doing it to defend yourselves, your family, or property. So basically the request is to, I stepped in because you guys were, sorry, if I do anything wrong, correct it after I'm done. But the idea would be to add a second exception, is to the use of a firearm to fire rubber bullets, sandbags, beanbags, or other non-lethal physical deterrents in order to deter bears. In reading this ordinance, we also have a disturbing the peace clause. So any loud or unusual noises are also not allowed. So there may be a consideration of adding an exception there as well for using noise deterrence, also for deterring bears. And I wish I had a different word between deter and deterrence, but I didn't at the time. Even though the original request is just for the discharge items, it may be considered to add that as another way to deter bears and get it up both in one action. So now that some folks here that might want to talk can talk, or we can wait until what you want to discuss. So in the packet was included a summary from Michelle that had the background of why this is being proposed, and then it also had a mocked-up ordinance number, and if it was to be adopted today or a future meeting, we can put in the appropriate ordinance number for 2016.
This is Chad. I'm just trying to get this right in my brain. So what they're asking is that we put a caveat to our ordinance to allow people to shoot guns at bears with non-lethal projectiles?
Yes. And then there's another option to add using noise deterrents for bears for hazing purposes.
There are actually the specific language in the draft ordinance. Adds the phrase in terms of affirmative defense in violation of firing a gun. Melissa read the existing ordinance is in defense of personal property, and this would add, or the action is the use of a firearm to fire rubber bullets, sandbags, beanbags, or other non-lethal physical deterrents in order to deter bears. That was the discharge. And then in terms of breach of peace, an exception is noise deterrent for the purpose of deterring bears. And those would be the two changes to the ordinance as it currently exists.
This is Denise Strauss. I live on Mesa Street. I have one concern about the noise ordinance part, and that's that I am concerned that it would therefore allow for barking dogs all night long because they are consistently deterring bears. And I'm sorry, that's not okay with me. So just a little comment on that.
Thank you.
So that actually, that was an insert that I added after researching some of the bear deterrents. So the actual request is just for the firearms. So you could just ignore that additional one with the noise.
This is Carolyn, and that makes sense to me. We can do the firearms one. The noise ordinance, I would think, would have to be spelled out well. So, for example, if someone says, well, if I play my rock and roll music, this one's for Ann Hassey. If someone said, I want to play my rock and roll music really, really loud all night because I know it deters bears. I mean, so in other words, if we're going to put it in an ordinance, I think we need to list what we mean by noise deterrent.
I don't think actual, noise hazing, this is Jen, I don't think it even really violates the noise ordinance unless somebody's shooting their air horn off for 15 straight minutes. Right. Something that happens for 3 seconds.
It'd be easy to list, I would think.
And we don't have any way to enforce it anyway, so.
All right. So at this point, we have a discussion of amending the ordinance. Not necessarily
a vote.
And
we can vote, though.
We could vote.
So. This is Chad. And I kind of agree with Carolyn on this, that I'm comfortable with the firing of non-lethal projectiles, kind of. but I'm not really comfortable with leaving this new added thing in the disturbing of the peace so wide open to any kind of broad interpretation of what you would want to deter bears with on a noise level. So I'd be willing to vote on something that excludes that language out of the amendment.
Tim Schaefer, 154 Mesa Street. I understand you guys' concerns. I would caution you from really constraining that too much in terms of what methods you use for deterring bears using noise. Consistency is not a good thing in terms of deterring the bears. They can really get accustomed to it. Really quick learners. They can learn that the sound of a shotgun means they're going to get hit with a bullet, and they'll run when they hear that. They can really grow accustomed and habituated to a particular sound. So having a diversity of methods to use to deter bears is really to our advantage. And one of the things we want to do, we have a group of folks that want to have more of an organized kind of bear hazing effort, but it needs to be coupled with just the community members being empowered in their own to act at the time it needs to happen and using whatever means they have. We don't want to encourage, require everybody to go out and get air horns or firecracker rounds and that kind of thing. Pots and pans work. All kinds of things work. And people have a lot of years of experience with that here in the hills. And having those resources available to you is, I think, an important part of this for empowering folks in the community.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the idea of not putting anything in as far as disturbing the peace, because I think everybody feels comfortable making a noise for a short period of time. Nothing is going to happen to people if they do. And then we don't have the problem of worrying about people doing things that are not actual bear deterrents, because now they're like, we have permission. So,
and this is Carolyn, and I don't know if when I was thinking of it, I wasn't thinking in terms of method, but probably duration. And so having some education around what are good spurts of duration of music would be, I would need that, that kind of thing. Or spurts of, pan banging or stuff like that. So I wasn't really thinking method, I was just thinking duration.
Okay. So can I change the motion that was not motioned by me earlier?
We haven't.
Or ask to have a friendly amendment added to it?
Well,
we haven't made
a motion.
I thought we did all that.
No,
sorry.
We were just having a discussion.
I got caught up in it.
We're just having
you started it, Chad.
We're just having the discussion, and what we need to, where we are now, is.
I will make a motion. Well, how's that?
Where we are now is deciding whether we want to make a motion and adopt an ordinance at this meeting, or have the ordinance in proper form brought forward.
Having phrased it as the ordinance in proper form going forward, this is Carolyn, that probably would be a good idea, is to actually have the written ordinance that we're going to actually vote on.
Okay. So at the next meeting, this ordinance will be on the agenda for adoption.
The ordinance will be drafted.
It's actually pretty much all drafted.
Okay. But it's not on the agenda. Okay.
Yeah, we need it. And let me just ask our experts, will a delay of 2 weeks be a major problem? Since no one's going to get busted if they shoot a rubber shotgun.
Well, let's put it this way. Since it might have, I don't know, let me just see, have happened before anyway.
So this is going to be on the next agenda. So the next one is a discussion of amending the nuisance ordinance, which is Ordinance 1, Series 1997, to include junk and abandoned vehicles.
Do we have a copy of that, of what it would be, or are we just discussing in general? Okay.
Do we have a definition for junk and or abandoned vehicles?
It's in your packet.
Yeah, we actually...
All right, and this one I'm actually stepping in for. I don't have... Hopefully I'll have all the information that we need for this. But basically, over the last few months, the town has been receiving calls about junk and or currently abandoned vehicles around town. So... In response to that, staff has just talked to the sheriff's office about options, and then basically the sheriff's office said that they would be happy to help enforce anything, but that the town would have to adopt something that had talked about either junked and or abandoned vehicles. So, and then do an amended intergovernmental agreement saying that that's included in what the sheriff would be responsible for. So in this research of trying to figure out what the town could do, we did talk to the town of Lyons, which they do have a code enforcement officer, but they do work with the sheriff for the policing of their anything that goes beyond what's remedied with the code enforcement, say the person moves the car or pays the fine or whatever. So they have an example in place of what they do, of how they go about talking or ticketing or investigating the car or vehicle, and then a procedure that they do to notify the owner, and then steps that they do when they notify the sheriff. So when we were looking at options for the town, there were two different ways that we thought we could go. One was to amend the nuisance ordinance, because a junked and abandoned vehicles can be considered a nuisance, or two, follow what other communities are doing with their traffic and transportation codes. Now, the bulk of the communities in Colorado have adopted the Model Transportation Code, and it's a lengthy document. You have to do it in a certain way. And the town actually had it adopted quite in the 60s, I believe. So they would have to readopt the code and then take out the parts that don't apply to the town, because it is a model transportation code. It goes all the way from rights of way to signage to abandoned and junk vehicles are just a small part of that. So talking to some of the staff and resource that we had, we thought that the nuisance ordinance being amended was probably the more direct route to do it, and it still is appropriate as it would be if we went through the multiple steps to get the transportation code adopted. So what we did was put together some example language. And this is taking Ordinance 1 of Series 1997, and that's the Nuisance Ordinance, which addresses nuisance, garbage, refuge, weeds, littering, abandonment, and dumping of garbage, et cetera, and adding in vehicles, junk vehicles. And then that would also include definitions of what an abandoned vehicle is, what a junk vehicle is, and then also... what the rules would be if it's unlawful and the parameters on that. And it also includes a process for addressing the abandoned vehicle or junk vehicle, which reflects the one that Lyons has with the sheriff, except there are some differences because, again, they have a code enforcement officer, so with the lack of staff, it had to be adjusted for how much effort the staff put out. And then, again, there's a section for junk vehicles. So... the rest of the amendments are pretty much administrative, updating sections that were referred to, and then updating some of the numbers and repealing or amending the 1997 version. So this is, I do realize this is probably, I don't think it's been discussed at the board before. Originally, we were going to just give the board the awareness that these calls are coming in. But I was asked to prepare an example ordinance for this discussion anyway. So it's not necessarily pressure to adopt anything tonight, because I do know it's new. But that is why the ordinance is prepared, is because it was requested that an example be shown.
So this is Vic, and my comment is that the information and the changes in the ordinance to deal with abandoned and junked vehicles is pretty substantial. And I would hope that board members would read this and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then perhaps at the next meeting, again, we would have a version of the ordinance. But I think, you know, when I read it over, part of me was delighted because some blight in the town would disappear. Mm-hmm. And part of me thought about, this seems like one of those older things. And so...
And it would have to apply to any that got called in, not just certain ones.
Oh, no,
it would
understand.
Be across the board rule for all of them.
Yes.
So it's pretty serious.
It is very serious. And so that's why my comment is that I hope board members would read over the proposed draft, think about it, and then, again, it could be on next meeting's agenda, and we would all have thought about the implications.
Or maybe even an alternative.
Or an alternative. I think that would be absolutely fine.
I think that would be great if that was public.
I think actually. Yeah. Actually, I think I will.
Maybe you could get posted.
Putting on my temporary mayor's hat. I'm going to direct staff to basically figure out how to inform the community that this is a proposal under discussion that might well be acted on at the next board meeting and how they can view a copy.
Great.
I think it's okay?
Perfect. Are we going to have any discussion about it right now?
Sure. We can.
I guess there's a couple things. One, between the definitions of abandoned vehicle and then in Section 3 and then Section 5 about abandoned vehicles, the numbers don't match in a way that makes sense to me. Like it's 72 hours in one spot and then 7 days in another for the same thing?
No. Because the 72 hours is a vehicle abandoned on private property without the property owner's consent.
Okay, the other one's
private. And the other property. One's on public property.
So on that one it says the vehicle's been left for more than 7 days unattended. In the definitions of abandoned vehicle on public property, it says for 24 hours or longer. So somewhere in between those, I think, would be... Like, I think 24 hours is a little too short for around here. People regularly, you know, go somewhere with the intention of driving home, then maybe get in a condition to walk home, and we don't want people driving home because they don't want their car towed.
Right.
So just as, you know, like... We want to control out-of-control junk cars, but we don't want to make people worry about when their car breaks down legitimately or, you know,
regular life stuff.
Yeah.
To Vic's point, this is Carolyn, I would see that's almost like the second layer. The first layer, to my mind, is to read this, to decide the intent of it, the nature of it, the how far do we want to go to... dictate it, so to speak, to have an agreement on it. So, like you say, it's nice that it's a blight. On the same time, you got to really be careful where we're stepping. And once that's decided, then to get into the technicalities of how many hours, how many days. But to first decide the spirit of it, I guess, is what I'm saying. Trying to say.
And I guess this is Vic, and I guess I would echo Jen's comment, reading the definition of abandoned vehicle, unattended for 24 hours.
We'd have to be clear.
You know, that doesn't, speaking for me personally, that doesn't cut it.
Stop for your modification. This is an example that came from looking at other communities, what they do, and this is a common theme. And I do believe, actually, some of these came out of the state statutes. of the model transportation code. But yeah, that's flexible for you guys to make adjustments to for your comfort level.
Yeah. So I'd like to, we'll bring it back at the next meeting with a draft ordinance.
Yeah. And I assume
and I would I'm not encourage everyone to
shooting darts at days and times at that point.
Okay.
I'm assuming I'm not going to be just modifying times. I'm going to keep it as this, and then if the board wants to discuss time frames, that can be part of it. Because I don't want to come back with 3 days and then find out it's just the same. So it'll be similar to this ordinance.
Right. And that's what you'll circulate.
Right.
Make
exactly.
Available to folks. But in the meantime, I would encourage board members to read it over carefully so that at the next meeting, when we see the same document, we've already thought through our concerns and heard from our constituents their concerns.
Could I actually, is it maybe better if you're going to either post this on the website or otherwise distribute it to the community, you're going to be getting input back over the next couple weeks, to say instead take some of that input and clean this up closer. What
if there's
the
a
input,
heavy lean towards something?
If you get
Yes.
Or what I could do is bring back this, and we're all at the same playing ground, and I can bring back a summary of what the comments are, and if there's a general consensus on time frames, then that would be highlighted.
Yeah. And I guess I would say that if it seems like it's too rushed to do this at the next meeting, I'll it can happen the meeting after that. This is not something that needs to...
I agree.
So give time for people to react, and I suspect when people read some of this, we'll get some reactions. Okay, but at some point we'll come back to it because it is an issue.
We'll keep it on the agenda. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
So this is a fun one. This is Resolution 935, Series 2016, a resolution of the Board of Trustees of the Town of Jamestown, Colorado, accepting a grant from Greater Outdoors Colorado Trust Fund for the reconstruction of the Jamestown Town Square, Elysian Park, and buyout properties. So basically, we've had the grant for 2 years. We're going to get half the grant money up front in 2 weeks. And we had to write a letter to GOCO from the board when we applied that said if we got the money, we'd take it. But apparently we never passed a resolution officially accepting the grant. So this is a little cleanup resolution. And if I can find it, I will read it so we can all... It's really short.
I can read it. It's right here.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right. Would you read it, please, Joe?
Sure. A resolution of the Board of Trustees of the Town of Jamestown, Colorado, accepting grant from the Greater Outdoors Colorado Trust Fund for the reconstruction of Jamestown Town Square, Elysian Park, that should be trail, but it says trawl, and buyout properties. Whereas Jamestown received a grant from the Greater Outdoors Colorado Trust Fund totaling $131,784.26 for the reconstruction of the Jamestown Town Square, Elysian Park, and buyout properties. And whereas the town authorizes our mayor, Tara Schottinger, to accept execute the grant agreement and documents needed for the grant's implementation. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of the Town of Jamestown, the town accepts and authorizes the mayor as the station signatory for the Greater Outdoor Colorado Trust Fund grant totaling $131,784.26. The town authorizes the mayor to execute this grant agreement and documents needed for this grant's implementation. Resolved, approved, and adopted by a vote of the Jamestown Board of Trustees on this, the 12th day of September 2016.
So do I have a motion?
I move that we pass Resolution 9-30, wait, wrong one, I'm sorry, 9-35, Series 2016.
I second.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Show unanimous. Thank you. Okay. The next is Resolution 936, Series 2016, which is a resolution to approve a contract with Scott Cox and Associates for engineering design services for the James 030 FEMA HMGP elevation project. So let me get the background on this. Basically, the town applied through HMGP dollars for two properties to be elevated, and it's taken a while to get to this point because the state decided to make things really complicated and messy, and apparently we've gotten through it. So this is to award the contract for the engineering for that process. And basically for the board members and for the audience, the memo from the mayor explains how we went about this, which is we created and advertised the request for proposals. There was a pre-bid meeting that happened in April. No bidders attended the meeting. As a result, the town terminated the bid. The town then created and advertised a simpler request for quote, which was advertised through the Boulder County Procurement Department. As a part of the procurement process, a non-mandatory pre-bid meeting was scheduled for June 2nd. Two bidders attended the meeting, and a third bidder visited the sites independent. In addition to this, the town reached out to 14 other firms and received six no quotes. And the reason this is important is that our procurement policies say that for large bids, we need to have at least three bids, a no bid counts in that count because it means the company has read the proposal over and made a conscious decision not to provide a quote. The town received one quote from Cox Engineering, who attended the pre-bid meeting, and their quote was for $69,800. The town negotiated the price down substantially to $40,000. And so this is the resolution to award the contract to Scott Cox and Associates. So, I'll read it real fast. Whereas a part of the grant from FEMA HMGP program is elevating two residential structures, and whereas Jamestown Advertise received bids, whereas the town awards this contract work to Scott Cox and Associates, and whereas the town authorizes Tara Schettinger, Mayor, to execute agreements related, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of the town of Jamestown, the town awards the elevations project to Scott Cox and Associates in the amount of $40,000. The town authorizes Tara Schettinger, Jamestown Mayor, as the town's signatory for agreements related to this work. Do I have a motion to accept the resolution?
I so move. As Chad.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have any further board discussion?
I have a question. Do you know how the issue with the state was resolved? Because if I recall, it was about their language being about how we would have to prove and the town would be responsible for proving that the property stayed the way that
and followed all their guidelines, and that was the issue that both we in Boulder County were having, that we didn't feel like, and as a government entity, we could
go into the basement for what's going on
eternally, because that was it. So, do you know what the resolution
is? So let me do something for our audience. Basically, the feds, whose money this is, have a set of rules about what you have to do. The feds give the money to the state. The state gives the money to us. The state then stuck in a bunch of provisions which are more onerous than what the feds require, which is basically none of their damn business because it's not their money. And that's been a battle that Tara has been fighting on behalf of the town and every other community that is going to do these elevations. And actually, I probably misspoke earlier. I don't know that the issue has been resolved, but regardless, the engineering has to happen.
Right.
So this is just about
the engineering. Okay.
So.
Okay. That's all. Just curious.
So I'm going to call for a vote. So all in favor of the resolution to award the contract? Show unanimous. Thank you. Okay. Near and dear to Jen's heart.
It's your moment, Anne.
Resolution 9-38, Series 2016, a resolution appropriating additional sums of money to increase amounts budgeted for the Town of Jamestown, Colorado Roads and Bridges budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just want all the money in the roads and bridges budget. Mm-hmm. Fix had noted that, though, so we're just going to go with Howlett's Gulch needs to be cleaned out. It's dangerous, and unfortunately it's not a shovel job. It's a buddy and a shovel job, so everybody get ready because somebody has to actually crawl inside there, but he'll get as much out as he can with his big machinery, so that's going to be around $3,800. And then there is a tree up near, right on the edge of Ann's property, but it's on town property, I'm pretty sure. I took GPS readings. I plotted it out myself because you can't trust the Boulder County Assessor's website, and it looks like it's clearly town property. It's already had a couple really big branches just fall down without there being even any wind. It's near a school. It's near other people, so I want to get that cut down. The most it will cost is $1,500. I'm trying to find something cheaper, but and we need that.
Left hand, I'm assuming you asked.
Okay. Yeah, I have a message into them, and they haven't gotten back to me yet. It's not really fire mitigation, but I'll try to sell it like that.
And we might even have somebody on our fire department who's trying to gain hours to become certified to be a Sawyer. So.
That's good. We only want to make sure that whoever does it is insured properly for if any damage should happen because of that. So if that's possible through that.
Something to look into.
That's you and I talk. So, but either way, we're going to need some money to get that tree down before it gets itself down on top of somebody.
This isn't going to be part of the vote because this is just about a budget issue. But out of curiosity, who looked at the wood? I'm not kidding. People, everyone's going to want it. And if it's town wood.
I don't know if they would want it. It's not very good wood.
Everybody wants it. You want to know how many offers I've gotten for the rounds in my backyard?
Then,
just something, usually to, think, something to think about.
It's. I would leave it up to the contractor who's going to do it to decide how to dispose of it.
Yeah.
That really is how I would like to do it.
You could also put it to town, too, because it would be needed for different things. Or we could allocate it to different people.
I motion to approve Resolution 9-38, Series 2016.
Is there a second?
We might have some discussion.
Let's have the second, and then we'll have
to. I second. Carol?
No. Anne, you wanted to comment?
It's Anne again. Heather, I didn't hear what you said. Could you repeat it?
Oh, sure. I just was saying that we should look into if there are any members on our fire department who are training to be Sawyers and need hours or time doing it.
Okay. Thank you.
The other thing is, and I didn't mention this to Jen, the branch that came down, we're not talking a twig. Biggie. It's still there. And it's a fire hazard, if nothing else. So as part of the bid, I'm hoping that that would be not only to cut down the tree that's there and make it go away,
yeah,
but to make the branch that came down,
yeah,
go away.
All of that stuff will be,
yes,
cleared out.
But it's incredibly dangerous. And if anybody wants that wood, it is really,
yeah,
burned out, dry.
They might not.
It's wood.
Rotten. I just know how many people have
it's
asked.
It's rotten. I mean, it is rotten to the core. That's why it's so dangerous, because it's just a,
right,
it's a dead tree still standing there.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I just wanted to mention that the logs are still there. So
okay,
that's part of the tree package, even though it's down already.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion from the board?
I just have a question. Is this money just for those two specific?
This resolution is just to transfer money into the Roads and Bridges budget for those items. That doesn't mean that in the future there couldn't be the other trees being addressed. It might require another budget transfer.
I can look at them and see if I can. It's really important not to be overly technical or whatever, but that we know what property they're on, because if they're on private property and we cut them down and anything happens, whatever, that's a problem. So just to make sure that we can legitimately go do that. So I'll find out.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, actually, one more thing. Just wanted to point out that this was a very quick debate that couldn't get resolved, but that just because if there's going to be more tree cutting going down, that this isn't necessarily trees. Tree removal, dead trees, I'm not sure really falls under the dominion of roads and bridges. So we might want to, as it seems like there's getting to be a lot of aging trees around here, we might want to look at.
Well, we need
what
to look at
falls
right,
under.
But we also need to look at whose financial responsibility it is,
yeah,
kind of a thing. You know, I mean, that's definitely going to have to be the first look. I'm assuming we're addressing this tree because it is on public land.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Right, right. So are you talking about other dead trees on public land?
Yes, I'm saying that it seems to be we're getting to a point in time where a lot of our trees are aging out. And
the question is, we don't have a tree department.
We don't have a tree
department. Right, we don't have a tree department. Which is not a bad idea, though.
Okay. I'm taking this one, but
okay,
I'm not taking them off.
All right, so we have a vote. All in favor? So it's unanimous. So, Christy, there should be three resolutions for me to sign. Okay. So we are now on to committee reports. Boulder County Recycling and Composting, not here. Local Recycling, Erica.
I wonder if you want any sort of announcements on the October 1st.
I was just getting there. Please make the announcement.
As you all know, there is a hard-to-recycle event happening on October 1st. I believe it's from 9 a.m. to noon at Elysian Park. I worked with Trustee Lenarsik and Bridget Johnson of Green Girl Recycling to come up with a survey, which you probably have seen gone out. It's had some good response so far, and we'll send a follow-up. It's done a good job so far of educating the Green Girl on what people are planning to bring, and just wanted to put that out there.
Yay. So we have a written report from the floodplain administrator. Oh, Anne, did you want?
I just have a question. The survey didn't say how much. It's like, what are you going to bring? But if there wasn't any way to put down whether you're bringing the charcoal of it, or, like, I have one light bulb. So it sort of sounded like it wasn't very effective.
Yeah, we did say how much on scrap metal and on a few things, boxes of books, other things, but we didn't put the amount because it didn't matter to her.
Okay.
I wanted to know what.
We're on floodplain administrator.
I'm trying to pull up the amended version of this report. Do you have it up?
I can't have it up.
I'm not sure if this is the. Okay. So just really quickly, Mark. The first item was the letter of map revision, and we're still waiting to hear. It hasn't gone to FEMA yet, but it should get there soon. And we're hoping to get an answer by the mid-month. But the only thing that the reviewer was confident in saying was that the determination will be issued before the 90-day deadline, which is October 11th. Mark worked with the contractor on the demolitions to make sure that erosion best management practices for erosion were utilized. There's an interest in pedestrian bridges for locations in Elysian Park and at 59 Ward Street. But with breakaway bridges, abutments still need to be engineered. The only advantage is it's a little cheaper, but you're still looking at $30,000 a bridge.
Wow.
Oh, that's right. There's been discussions with the post office property owner about repairs of the parking lot in the southeast corner, which is in the floodplain. This is a catch-22. There are United States Postal Service policies against repairs in the floodplain. It's Mark's view that this is a permissible repair, so they have to have discussions between the property owner, the Postal Service, and the contractor to see about the repairs.
But when you say there's, you mean the Postal Service says you can't repair it, but you're saying that we could use FEMA.
We could, because they're saying you can't, but our floodplain administrator is saying you can.
So
that would be a discussion that the owner would go to the Postal Service and say, we have an opinion from the floodplain administrator of the community in which this is located that this blah, blah, blah.
Got it.
So that's in process. Mark reviewed the lots, respective lots, in the Fike subdivision, and it was his opinion there were buildable areas that are well outside the floodplain.
I'm sorry, just based on the earlier discussion, he did address all drainage and all of the other concerns that Nina brought up in her letter? Do we not know?
No, he reviewed them to see if a lot of them, they were buildable
lots
outside
it.
The floodplain.
Got it. Sorry. You're right.
And then he issued a floodplain development permit for the Mann's Hardy septic repair. Okay, so that's his update. Water committee, our water committee chairman, aged out. Volunteer, any report?
Nothing.
Streets and bridges, Jen?
I think we went over most of the stuff. One thing is I talked to Mark about
the getting a bridge, a pedestrian bridge at Elysian Park. So the point with the breakaway bridges really is that you can put them lower and still get away with it. So we thought we might have some funding that ended up going to the town square. So if anybody has any funding ideas for building new bridges, because I think that one's pretty important and people miss it, but it's a lot of money. At Elysian Park, crossing the creek up to Main/Mill Street. Not much to say on CR 94 except to correct misleading public report on the QT, which should not be trusted for technical information. That is not being paid for just by FEMA. It's also being paid for by CDBGDR, and there is, in fact, some money from CDBGDR to go towards traffic calming. Exactly what we can do with that is still a work in process, but it had said that there was nothing there for that. Not true. Not true. Okay. And I think that'll do it for now.
Okay. Elysian Park. We have bids from Arnie to fix the path. We have a bid from Joe Reichert to improve the stairway down to the area that the school kids fixed up. And we're still waiting on a bid from Louis to do the fence and gate. And as soon as we get the bid, third bid, we'll hopefully get all those repairs underway. Town Square, we already had the update. Cemetery?
It's still there.
Okay. Everyone's resting peacefully?
According to Karen Zupko, yes.
Okay. And no noise complaints from Karen.
Yeah. She says she didn't hear anything come out of there.
Wait. Just wait till October 31st.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Town Hall maintenance.
I actually am talking to Seamless Gutters, but I want other companies to go again, you know, just to get other bids. Anybody?
To do what?
Bids on gutters. The gutter.
We're getting gutters. We already had gutters, and they just need to be put up.
We need gutters. I never got to do it before winter.
So
I'll look into it. But
really?
I'm talking to Seamless Gutters.
Talk to Rob. Ask and see if his company will bid. Boulder Roofing?
Got it. That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Ken's not here, but I think did he submit a written report for Left-Hand Watershed?
And for Intermountain.
And Intermountain Alliance. Do I need to read them, or can you all read
them? No, we can't do
that. Okay.
And while you're there, Barb also submitted a report from Lou Hawk, and we kind of glossed over Lou Hawk earlier, but just to call attention that there was a report submitted and it didn't get addressed, really, like as far as the comments. And maybe it's not important, but.
Okay. Right. Okay, so we need to, if you haven't read that one, read that one too. I have a motion to adjourn.
Well, I have a request for what tune Chad should sing his motion to adjourn in tonight. And tonight I would like to know if you can sing the adjournment in the song We Like the Moon by Electric Six, I believe it is, or possibly Rather Good. Do you know that song, We Like the Moon?
No, I don't.
Okay. Then.
But I'd be more than happy to sing the adjournment song in... My Way
how about
Elvis Presley. It's been a while. It's been a while. But I'd like to adjourn now. So I'll make a motion that we adjourn. And we all go home and tuck ourselves in tight.
Second.
All in favor. The record show is unanimous. Thank you all.
Off the record now, but Chad, that was just beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know. It's a ridiculous song.
But you should know it.